All right, thanks for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. The Celebrity Pickleball Bash we've been talking about the last few days, interviewing participants and administrators. It is a two-day celebration of pickleball and entertainment. They're going to be playing at the historic Warfield Theater. They're going to be a big Celebrity Pickleball Bash cigar night on Friday, February 14th, and then we will have yoga in the morning with Peter Walters on the 15th, and then we'll have the pickleball going down on Saturday, February 15th. One of those celebrity participants is our next guest. We're quite happy to have him. It's Tyler Hansbrough, one of the best players in North Carolina men's basketball history. Tyler, welcome to the show. When I say Psycho T, do you think, hell yeah, that's me, or do you like say, oh, brother, whatever?
Hey, man, happy to be on. I get a little bit of both. You know, those are my young days, and that usually associates me playing basketball on the court, but I'm a pretty normal, calm guy off the court. So now that I've put basketball down, retired, I'm trying to figure out how to take that.
So it's very rare now, as you know, for a guy to stay all 4 years, and you were great all 4 years. When you think about NIL and the transfer portal and all that else, do you think if you played now you'd still be a four-year guy, or what do you think?
Yeah, I think I'd be a four-year guy. And, you know, when I think about the NIL and what's going on with college basketball right now, I still think there's a lot of things that need to be smoothed out. I don't think it's a finished what they're trying to get to. I don't think it's finished or a finished product right now. But I will say, I always tell people, I'm glad I didn't play in the NIL era, just because I'm not sure that my team would have stayed together for as long as they did. If you look at my national championship team, we had guys, not only myself, but the class I came in with, we all stayed for 4 years. We had Ty Lawson, Wayne Ellington, Danny Green, all those guys. We stayed in college for a long time together, so that is kind of rare now.
You know, it's funny, Danny Green, one time a few years ago, I was interviewing him, he was a spokesman for this certain sports drink, and I said, what is it about that drink? Why should we buy it? And he goes, you just should. And I was like, okay. He was very succinct, I'll say that, about Danny Green. but, you know, I think about the NIL. I mean, and I played D2 football in the 80s, so I was never going to get any money. But the thing is, if you're a great quarterback and at the end of the year, why wouldn't you just say, who's going to give me the most money? I'll go to your school, right? I mean, it's just free agency like pros would dream of.
Yeah, you know, there's two sides to that. I think one thing is you're putting too much emphasis on money. And, you know, I think there's more to college than just money. The experience and playing with some of my teammates and the bonds that we had met or made over my 4 years, there's not a lot of money that could replace that. And I will say, if the quarterback is good enough, they will make their money in the NFL. And I think that going from college to college, I think it really hurts players being able to be coached. And I think there's a lot to be learned from playing from a great coach. I think I played for Roy Williams, one of the greatest coaches ever, for 4 years. I learned a ton. And I think part of the NIL, and especially the transfer portal, it's taking away a lot of kids' ability to be coached by a great coach. And you can definitely see the quality play being affected by the coaching not as being prevalent as it used to be.
Yeah, great coach, and you know, Roy Williams and the Dean Dome. It's an amazing experience to be a Tar Heel. So when I say Duke, while you might throw up in your mouth, Coach K, you know, Army vet, one of the greatest coaches, Team USA coach, I'm going to say he's a hard guy to hate because it's just, you can't help but respect him. Or am I wrong? Do you hate everything about Duke?
You can hate Duke. It's okay. you know, that's what the rivalry is about. But, no, I mean, you know, there's Coach K is one of the greatest to do it as well. And I will say this, John Shire has done about as good a job as anybody in college this year. Mm-hmm. Duke's an unbelievable team. And the one thing that Shire's done this year is he's coaching a group of freshmen where in this new era of, you know, these transfer portals, where I thought the fifth-year guys are much more valuable than these five-star recruits, Duke's kind of proving me wrong right now with Knipple, Cooper Flagg, the Maluwach kid. He's got arguably the best team in college, and he's doing it with young kids as well. So he's doing a heck of a job.
I wanted to ask you as well, after your NBA career, and you played multiple places in China, and you really were on the ground zero area for the pandemic. I mean, you were there when they were shutting stuff down. What was that like? Before the rest of the world, we were all looking at Wuhan and these other places, and you were there.
Yes, I was. It's crazy because it happened so fast, and I got a few phone calls about, hey, what's going on in China? Like, you know, everyone's kind of getting sick, and I was like, that's just news. Like, they're just trying to create a little chaos, and I was like, don't pay any attention to it. And then, like, a week later, I called my agent, and I was like, the season had just come to a stop. They put a little pause to it, and I said, listen, I need to get home. And I was like, I'm not sure how many flights are going to be available for me to get back to the U.S. And he was like, let me run it by your team real quick. I was like, no. Listen, if you want to be my agent, you're going to get me home on this next flight, I'm telling you right now, or someone else can be representing me. And it wasn't like that. It was an eerie feeling. I love playing in China. China is a great basketball league. They have great fans. But that, it just happened in such a bad timing for me because I was literally having the best season in China when the pandemic hit, and I really liked the team I was on. But when that hit, there was a lot of anxiety, a lot of unknowns, and I just wanted to get back home to a safe space around my family so I could feel a little more comfortable. So I got out of there as soon as I could, and I had the intentions on going back to China 2 weeks later, but obviously I have not been back since, and I messed up my knee training, and so I haven't played basketball since that pandemic season.
Couple more questions for Tyler Hansbrough, part of Celebrity Pickleball, coming up here on the 14th and the 15th. You really took it. Sometimes, you know, as you know, an athlete's like, hey, how can I extend my career? I can go play overseas and get another check. But you played in Guangzhou and Zhejiang and Sichuan, long line. I love that, long lines. And not like Disneyland for the Matterhorn, not long lines, long lions. Golden Bulls, Blue Whales. I mean, you didn't just go over there for a check. You embraced it. You really liked it. What was it about the culture in all those different cities I just named?
Well, every city was a little bit different. The last city I played in, Chengdu, was, you know, it was kind of like the L.A. of China. It was a West Coast team, really relaxed, great food. Actually, the food in China, everyone always asks me about it. The food is amazing. The cities I was playing in, pretty westernized. If you want Western food, you can go find it. But the Chinese have unbelievable food. It's not like a lot of the people, they have this mindset that there's not good food over there or eating crazy things. You can find some crazy things, but no, the food was great. What I liked about playing in China is at the time, my NBA career wasn't going the way I wanted. And I was, you know, putting a lot of pressure on myself. And China was more of a, I got out of the spotlight. I couldn't understand a lot of people, so I couldn't understand if I was getting criticized or not. I just went over to China, and it was just straight basketball. My best friend from my hometown went over there with me because I was a little bit nervous about living in China and not having to spend a lot of time in China. And we went over there. And the league was physical. It's an inside game, basketball, kind of like what I'm used to playing. And it was it's one of the more physical leagues in the world. It was kind of similar to the NBA in the 80s where there's not a lot of fouls. It's going to be physical. They're going to beat you up inside. So I really enjoyed that. And I got away from, you know, all the expectations and just went to China and hooped. And they have a passionate fan base, so I really enjoyed it.
Very cool. And you know what? It just made me think about what you said about living in the paint because, I mean, you didn't really, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't remember you shooting threes. Nowadays, would they just expect you in this Steph Curry world that, oh, I don't care if you're 6'9", you got to shoot threes?
Well, Steph has changed the game, and the problem is not everybody's Steph. I'm not sure if everybody realizes that. I mean, if we all had Steph, we'd all be shooting threes more. But, you know, I knew the game was changing when I was in Toronto, and one of the assistants told me to go ahead and start shooting corner threes. I was like, well, I've never made a corner three in my life in the NBA. And they're like, yeah, well, you need to start shooting them now. So, you know, my position in the NBA, it was kind of getting extinct, that power forward position. They're going to positionless basketball. So, you know, I was all about expanding my game, though, and learning different parts of basketball and trying to develop it because I did enjoy working on my game and evolving my game. It was just something that wasn't one of my strengths, and I tried to develop it. But, you know, the game was changing at such a fast pace that, you know, I felt like my style fit China a little bit better.
All right, and finally, we got about a minute. What's it like getting your number retired when you're, like, still in your 20s at the time? I mean, usually you kind of, like, bring back the old man. That must have been kind of surreal.
Yeah, well, at Carolina, if I remember after my junior year, I was unanimous National Player of the Year, so that's the qualifications to get your jersey retired at UNC. And, you know, it's funny because I was sitting there with the manager after, you know, I knew my jersey was going to get retired, and we looked up there and we saw Jordan, Jameson, Phil Ford, and all those guys, and I just kind of laughed when I threw my name out there to be in the category of those great players. And, you know, it's still crazy to see my jersey up there, and with all the history at UNC, it is such an honor, and I'm all about UNC basketball. I love the program. I love the family atmosphere about it. It is a special place. So I'm very humbled to be up there with those guys.
Fully deserving that nobody will wear 50 again for the Tar Heels. All right, as I mentioned, Celebrity Pick a Ball. It's going to be coming on Saturday the 15th at the Warfield. And remember, the Celebrity Pick a Ball Bash Cigar Night at the Amador Club. This will be on Valentine's Day night at 7:30. Go to bizx.com. That's bizx.com. And pick up some tickets there. And you will see Tyler Hansborough play some pickleball. Hey, man, great interview. Thanks for coming by, and we'll see you when you're in town.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me, and hopefully everyone comes out and watches some pickleball. It's going to be fun.